This is 1A. I'm Jen White in Washington. Officers arrested at least 60 people last night in Brooklyn Center, Minnesota, after a third day of protests against police violence following the death of Dante Wright by police. Both the Brooklyn Center chief of police and the officer who shot and killed Wright resigned yesterday. It's a big story, and it's moving quickly. Here to fill us in is Matt Sepik. He's a senior reporter with Minnesota Public Radio. Matt, welcome.
Hi, Jen.
So give us some background. Dante Wright was shot and killed by a police officer during a traffic stop Sunday afternoon. What more do we know about him and about the shooting itself?
Well, as you mentioned, it did happen during a traffic stop, and the officer in this case says that she mistook her taser, her gun for a taser, mixed the two weapons up, and fired a bullet into Mr. Wright's chest, killing him, when she really meant to use a taser on him. This traffic stop was precipitated either by an obstruction in the windshield or an expired license plate. We're not exactly sure which one. Mr. Wright did have a warrant out for his arrest, and from the sounds of things, she was trying to arrest him on that warrant when a scuffle ensued and she pulled out her gun instead of her taser, as she claims, and that led to his death at the scene on Sunday afternoon.
What do we know about the now former officer who shot him, Kim Porter, or Kim Potter, rather?
Yeah, Kim Potter, she is a 26-year veteran of the department, has been there for a long time. I understand she led the police union there for a while, and she's 48 years old, has not said anything publicly about this other than her resignation letter. And it's looking like she could be charged as soon as today in Dante Wright's death. The case is being reviewed by Washington County Attorney Pete Orpett. It's a different county than where this occurred. It's a common thing for prosecutors to take each other's cases when there's a potential for a conflict of interest. So he could announce charges at some point today.
For those of us who don't live in Minnesota, tell us a bit about Brooklyn Center.
It is a inner ring suburb. It's about 30,000 people. It is very diverse, perhaps the most diverse community in Minneapolis. About 60% people of color, 25% foreign born, a large African immigrant population there. It borders Minneapolis to the north. And it's just a relatively quiet middle class community of modest single family homes and many apartment buildings throughout the community.
And what do we know about the community and its relationship with the police force there?
Well, we have not seen this sort of incident to this degree there. So things now are incredibly tense. As you mentioned, both Officer Potter and the police chief, Tim Gannon, have resigned. And we can expect to see a shakeup with the department and with the city council there in the days and weeks to come.
Now, Potter said she resigned because she thought it was for the best. Why did the police chief explain his resignation?
Well, I think that was the same reason that in order for the city to move forward, they both needed to step down. Now, some in the community are saying, well, wait a minute, they shouldn't get to resign and keep their pensions. They need to face the consequences, particularly Officer Potter, for what happened.
Now, with Potter resigning, does that mean she will keep her pension even if she is charged?
Well, I'm not sure about that. That is something that will have to be sorted out, and it'll certainly be a topic of public debate here.
So there's possible criminal charges coming against Potter. What about a civil suit? Is there any indication a lawsuit is in the works?
Oh, you can guarantee there will be one. Ben Crump, the attorney who represented the family of George Floyd and won that record $27 million settlement for the Floyd family, is now representing Dante Wright's family. And in fact, Crump had a joint press conference with members of the Floyd family yesterday. He hasn't announced a lawsuit yet, but it will likely be coming very soon.
Now, you've covered some of the marches and protests over the last few days. Describe them for us and what they're telling you.
Well, I was out last night in Brooklyn Center, and this was before dark, before the curfew kicked in, second night of curfews in the community. There was a largely peaceful group of perhaps 1,000 people gathered outside the police station there, and they marched a ways down the street to, in fact, where the FBI headquarters is, just up the road from the police station, and held a brief rally there demanding an independent investigation and accountability. They then marched back. A lot of people by that point left. And then after dark, things got very tense again. There were National Guard troops on the scene protecting the police station, clashing for a second night with protesters. I was out late on Monday night through all of it. And fortunately had a gas mask on because they were using quite a bit of tear gas on protesters as protesters were lobbing aerial fireworks at police who were behind a temporary fence in front of the police station. I don't know what we can expect for tonight, but the protests have been continuing primarily in Brooklyn Center, and authorities here really don't want to see what happened on May 28th of last year, when that police station in Minneapolis on Lake Street, the Third Precinct station, was overwhelmed and set on fire following the killing of George Floyd.
We're talking to Matt Sepik. He's a senior reporter with Minnesota Public Radio who's been covering the shooting of Dante Wright and its aftermath. Now, Matt, you were actually covering the murder trial of Derek Chauvin, that's the former police officer mm-hmm. who killed George Floyd, when this more recent shooting occurred. That trial is happening in Minneapolis, which is pretty close to Brooklyn Center.
Right.
What is the atmosphere like in Minnesota more broadly right now?
It is very tense. It's been tense since really the start of jury selection in this trial. And the shooting of Dante Wright, while tragic in and of itself, could not have happened at a worse time. It is just making things even more tense as this trial nears its conclusion. The defense is presenting its arguments today and is expected to wrap up tomorrow. It sounds like the judge wants to take Friday off so the jury doesn't have to be sequestered over the weekend following closing arguments. Closing arguments, it's looking like those will take place next Monday, and then it goes to the jury.
How closely is this trial being watched in Minnesota?
Very closely. Just to give you an idea, the TV stations here have blown out all of their normal weekday programming. There are no soap operas on the air. People are watching this trial, and it is getting a lot of attention. It's been the top news story in Minnesota, particularly in the Twin Cities, since it began. Of course, it's been supplanted by this latest killing of an unarmed black man, 20-year-old Dante Wright.
What are you hearing from Minnesotans about this moment?
We know that the world is watching, particularly the trial of Derek Chauvin is not just about his fate. It's about the fate of policing in Minnesota, the future of policing in Minnesota, I should say, and the future of policing across the country. It could result in certainly what activists want is major reforms of how traffic stops are conducted, how police are held accountable, how police are trained, what types of force they can use. It could be a game changer in law enforcement, and it's all because of what is happening here this week.
How much has changed in the past year?
Well, not as much as police reform activists would like. The state legislature, after George Floyd was killed, did pass a package of some police reforms. They banned chokeholds, for example. They put a ban on warrior-style training and are training officers better to deal with people they may face who have autism. But activists here, and they've been holding regular news conferences throughout the trial with the international media here, saying that this reform is not enough. They want far more, including mandatory civilian oversight for large police departments, professional liability insurance, and an end to qualified immunity for police officers, so it's easier to sue them when they do something wrong.
So where does your reporting go from here as you continue to watch the Chauvin trial and the investigation into this more recent shooting?
Well, we have a team of four reporters at Minnesota Public Radio News on this and an editor overseeing us all, and we are doing all we can just to keep up with daily developments, both in the trial itself as it nears its end, as well as the developments with the case of Dante Wright and the possible charges against Officer Kim Potter, which, as I said, we could see today.
That's Matt Sepik. He's a senior reporter with Minnesota Public Radio. Matt, thanks for speaking with us.
You're quite welcome.
Coming up, the U.S. is tentatively emerging from its year of solitude. But what impact did 2020 have on those who were already living alone? I'm Jen White. This is 1A from WAMU and NPR.